Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Is there a chance that Eskom is going to be privatized?
Yes. Good morning to your listeners, Howard. Now, the situation that we have to consider with Eskom is that Eskom being a monopoly for the longest time is actually the industry, the electricity supply industry itself, because it's been a monopoly for some time. So what has happened is that there has been a degree of privatization of that industry through the introduction of independent power producers. But the percentage that these independent power producers can produce is negligible relative to what Eskom has got to produce. What Eskom is able to produce, let me not say has got to produce, what Eskom is able to produce and is actually producing. So Eskom is the cornerstone, producing 60%, about 60% of Africa's generated electricity. So at the same time, the politics of privatizing Eskom, in other words, selling the shares and the assets of Eskom to private investors, are largely unfavorable if one adheres to the developmental state mentality. Eskom was created as part of the philosophy of the National Party of a developmental state, albeit it was a racist developmental state focused only on developing whites and to the exclusion of black people in general. So the prospect of privatizing Eskom itself is going to be very difficult. What might end up happening is that even if they unbundle Eskom, they may want to then say they will sell minority shareholding in the various three subsidiaries or separate companies that they will create.
There was this tremendous pushback when the sort of breakup of Eskom was spoken about. We had what we thought maybe was some kind of I'm not sure what the word is, but people were getting involved and causing damage within Eskom. So is there likely to be is any change likely to be accepted, or do people within the Eskom base just want things to stay exactly the same?
Things have been changing in Eskom. The idea of making changes in Eskom, whether you call them corporatization, reform, privatization, and so on, started in the 1980s. And these were movements that were started by the World Bank and the IMF all around the world.
Right.
And the changes have happened. What may not have progressed is privatization.
Right.
Now, if you look at, yes, changes can happen, significant changes can happen without privatization, and that is what has happened in other countries like France and so on, where you find that the original Eskom of those countries is still the main supplier of electricity, generator, supplier, distributor, and so on. They're still the main player. Now, if you look at the Graduate School of Business at UCT, and they've been producing papers, and one paper that they produced specifically on the topic we're having, one that they produced by Eberhard in 2005, at that time, their research had showed that Eskom did not have the reasons that internationally were accepted as reasons for privatization and all the other things that were there. Eskom was technically competent. Eskom was financially viable, very strong financially. Eskom was one of the least cost suppliers by 2005. And the reforms that had taken place from 1985 to 2005 had meant that the staff at Eskom had actually been reduced by 50%. The efficiencies and other things had actually quite improved in Eskom through other forms of reforms within Eskom, including corporatization and so on. So the crisis now that has been created at the present time, 2005 is not very far from the 2007 Polokwane conference, and the beginning of load shedding. And what has then happened since 2005? was that the technical skills within ESCOM that were had caused ESCOM to be recognized all over the world and actually been awarded as the best performing entity. Those technical skills have seemed to have disappeared. The monies that were causing ESCOM, ESCOM was actually financing the electrification, rural electrification and electrification of black areas through its own resources because it was so financially strong. The financial strength of ESCOM since the Polokwane conference has actually disappeared. So ESCOM, through the actions of our leaders in government in South Africa, in the cabinet, in the presidency, in the board of ESCOM, in the management of ESCOM, have actually eroded the reasons that made ESCOM by 2005 to be a world-class organization. So those have been eroded. So when people are calling for privatization now, using those reasons that they've just created now, which we know who has created those reasons. Those reasons were not there. They are not inherent. They are not natural. Then it becomes a big problem, and it's going to create a lot of debate because we have other types of state-owned institutions, such as our universities. Our universities are absolutely top in the world, and they are state-owned, et cetera, et cetera. So somebody needs to intervene in a state institution to make it dysfunctional and to make it to need to be privatized. And that is what has happened in ESCOM.
Does that mean that, that because we, you know, 2005 wasn't that long ago where you say that, that we really, in terms of ESCOM, were at almost peak performance. Does it mean that we can go back to that potentially?
It does mean that we can go back to that. You must remember that there were certain foundations that were established in South Africa, and those foundations are not completely destroyed. One of those foundations, organizations such as SASOL, ESCOM, ISCOR, and so on, they were totally linked to the universities and engineering faculties of our universities. And the people who were developing the skills, the research, the knowledge, as well as actually running those institutions are still alive. A lot of the people who can run these things successfully are still alive, and many of them are still present in South Africa. They are just not being allowed to actually do what they do best. The training of artisans, many of the artisans who can turn ESCOM around are still alive. They are there. And the people who train these artisans are still there. So a lot of those capacities are there. The financial experts who understand how to restructure balance sheets and other things are still there in South Africa, physically present inside the borders of South Africa. So if we wanted ESCOM over the next 5 years to turn and become a world-class entity again, it can be done by South Africa.
So interesting, and it's so interesting to hear a different take on it, because in most of our minds, I think that we've gotten to a stage that we've kind of written ESCOM off. And we're saying, right, put ESCOM aside, now what are we meant to do for the future? What do we do for industry? What do we do for South Africa? And your, what your perspective is bringing is showing us what we are capable of and saying that, in fact, we still do have those people around. We still do have the resources, and we've got the ability to make ESCOM what it should be. And it, it's actually so refreshing to hear a completely, completely different perspective.
Yes. The other thing that where ESCOM was left down by the leadership of South Africa is that in history, because you'll remember that South Africa is, was one of the very first countries in the world. Even Kimberley, for instance, introduced street lighting, electrical street lighting before London did. So South Africa in the electricity industry has been ahead and a pioneer. And that pioneering was driven by industrialization. Now, what ESCOM did was to expand the number of connections or subscribers to the electricity grid. But what DTI, a Department of Public Interest, the economic cluster of government did not do, is to actually institute aggressive industrialization of the nation and the country as a whole, alongside making sure that electricity is reaching every village. So you find that now the electricity reaches certain places, certain municipalities, where there's no industry, and that industry is not being developed. So it's just being used to watch TV and so on, not to actually create superior economic value and so on and so forth, which could have meant that Eskom is now generating even more revenues and becoming stronger. But because till today, South Africa and Thabo Mbeki has raised this repeatedly, and Badili Khutla has raised this quite strongly, that there is no plan today, on the 30th of August, 2021, there is no plan, economic plan for this nation, evidence-based, funded, implementable plan to turn the economy around, to drive industrialization, etc., etc. There is no plan like that. What are there are pamphlets and loose essays that and slogans and rhetoric. So that was another area where Eskom was actually let down by the other players within the economy.
Absolutely fascinating. We do need to leave it there. Sandile Swan, a political analyst, absolutely drawn in and fascinated by your take on it.